Deuteronomy chapter number 31. And we do encourage you to stay after church and stay with us as we fellowship in the hall. You know, I was told one time we're AME Baptist, and I said, no, we're Missionary Baptist. And that's not what I heard. He said, you're AME Baptist. And I said, what in the world is an AME Baptist? He said, always meeting and eating. I said, well, yeah, then that's us. Amen. So you stick around and fellowship with us AME Baptists a while and get to know these young ladies, get to know folks in the church more, and I know it'll be a blessing to you. Deuteronomy chapter number 31, if you found that, would you stand to your feet as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word? And before we read, I want you to come tonight with a song, a testimony, or something in your heart. We haven't done this in a while, and I think it'd be a good time to do it as we just have a Charlestown Baptist praise and worship service. I tell you, God is so good to us. Amen. We don't take time enough in our services just to give glory to what he's done. But let's worship tonight, and let's just honor him tonight. Verse number 1, Deuteronomy chapter number 31. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy the nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto all them as he did unto Sihon, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Our Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege that's granted unto us to gather again in this place of worship, God, that we might uplift and glorify your name, Father, that we might worship you the way that you're worthy of being worshiped. Help us, Father God, just to submit ourselves, to surrender our lives, and to help us, God, to do what's pleasing unto you, that we might honor you in everything. Father, be in our fellowship this afternoon, be in our worship service tonight, but God, we pray now for this time and for this purpose and for this portion of Scripture and this word that has been read, God, we pray that you'd help us, Lord, just to see in it those things, Father, that help us, Lord, as we prepare to go forward in our lives and to live the life that you'd have us to live. Now, Father, empty me of self, God, and use me to your glory today. Help me, Lord, to preach in truth, in compassion, in love, according to your will in everything that I do. I say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As Moses is preparing the children for their next step, their next stage, their next opportunity in life, he's telling them that he's not going to be there. And you know, we got to look around us and realize there are many that have gone before us that aren't here today. Amen. There are many that are here with us that aren't going to be able to go with us and won't be able to stand the test of time and be there forever. But praise God, we know that we have a God that is always able, a God that always will, and a God that always can, a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. And He's going to go with us. And Moses is encouraging the people not to depend on people, but to depend upon their God. And as we think about our graduates today, we encourage you not to depend on people, but to depend on God. Amen. People will fail you. People will disappoint you. People will let you down. But Jesus never fails. Amen. Our God will never let you down. Our God will never fail you in any way. There will be times in darkness when you don't understand why. But God has a purpose and God has a plan. He's not failed you nor forsaken you. There will be times when He'll take you to places where you've never been and you're afraid to go. But you need not fear, because He don't take you there alone. He'll be there with you, and He'll walk you through those dark places and through those trying times. I never fail to trust in Him and to let Him guide your life, and never be afraid of what might be before you, because you know the one that's with you is the one that knows all things, has done all things, and can make all things happen, because He's done it before. In verse number 8, as Moses is encouraging the people and as he's encouraging Joshua, he tells them some things here that I think that are needful for us to grasp today and to get settled in our hearts and lives today. And number one is, nothing in your life will ever take the Lord by surprise. Amen. Sometimes we get surprised. We get bombasted. We get overwhelmed with what's happened, but nothing ever takes God by surprise. We got a call 3 o'clock this morning from my wife's cousin. Her son had committed suicide. Amen. Just a young man suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. Had fought hard in Iraq, faced many tough battles, and this call come. It was unexpected in our life. It was unexpected in her life, but praise God, we know the one that holds all life in His hands, and He holds all things in His hands, and He knows all things, and He knows what this young man had been through and was going through. It didn't take God by surprise, although it might have took us by surprise. You know, we don't always know what's going to happen, but we know with God we can always be prepared for what's going to happen. When we allow Him to be the one who controls our life and the one that's in control of our lives, we know that we need not fear. Look at what he says. And the Lord, He it is that doeth go before thee. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11, he says, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, that the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. You know what God said right here? You don't have to worry about anything, because I've already been in control of everything from eternity past, and I'm in control of what's going to happen in your future. Amen. Sometimes we go through life worrying about the things that are going to happen instead of turning them over and trusting God with them. I can't control what's going to happen in my life, in any aspect of my life, whether it's in my health, whether it's in my finances, or whether it's in the direction that I'm going to go, but I know the one who can. Amen. He says He's done it. He's done it from the ancient times. Amen. And He's doing it now. Amen. We got to remember, when we don't understand and we can't comprehend and we have trouble dealing with the situation, that we're not God. But remember, when we trust God, God acts as God. God acts like God. And God functions as God. God don't function on our terms. He functions on His terms. He doesn't function for our purpose. He functions for His purpose. He don't function to let us be in control, but He functions that we might know that He is in control. Amen? Look at what He said in verse 9. He said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. I'm thankful for the God that I serve. I might not always understand Him, But I always know that He's God. Amen. I might not always be at peace. And get this, I might not always be at peace with what's happening. But I know that He is God. Amen. I might not always be on the inside track with what's happening. But I know that He's God. Amen. And just knowing that He's God and He forms and functions and acts as God, that ought to be enough for me to just surrender and submit my will unto God. I don't have to worry about the things that come along because of who He is. Look at what He says there in Isaiah 46, verse number 10. He said, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. You know, God already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. He already knows what lays before me tomorrow. Why should I worry about it if God's already got it in control? If God's already aware of it, God already knows what's going on. You say, well, preacher, if that's the fact, then why do we exist? Because God functions as God. He puts us here to function as man. Our job, our portion is to trust Him, that He knows what's best for me, that He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and I can trust Him because I know that He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and I know that He has my best interest at heart. That's why He sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross, because He cared for me. That's why in eternity past, before the foundations of the world, Christ Jesus was the Lamb slain. Amen? Ain't that what the Bible says? The Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. He already knows what the need is going to be tomorrow. He already knows where I'm going to be tomorrow. He already knows what I'm going to face tomorrow, and all I got to do is trust Him for my tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Why? Because He has a purpose. Look at verse number 11. Call on a ravenous bird from the east, and the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will do it. Amen. I don't know why God brings me to the valleys that He brings me to, but praise God, He's got a purpose for it. I don't know why God allows me to enjoy my time on the mountaintop, but praise God, I'm glad He does, and I know He's got a purpose for it. I don't know why God has allowed me to face many of the things that I've faced in life, but I know that He's always brought me through it. I know that He always will, and I can look back and can see from the things that I've been through and where He's brought me to and the things that He's done for me. He's had a purpose for things that He might point me in the way that I can need to go. He might draw me closer to Him. You know, every trial and every obstacle that I've faced has brought me closer to the Lord. Every time I've had to depend on Him has taught me to depend on Him that much more. Every time when we've been down, you know, and I preached this before. I just praise God that we've lived our life and we've never not been able to pay our bills. Amen? Amen. Now, we didn't live fully. And I've had people, I've told you this before, I've had people come to me after, when you telling me God didn't love you? No, I'm just telling you, you've not been good stewards of what God's given you sometimes, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I've listened to some of the things they say, and then they're telling me how, you know, trying to lambast me because God's been good to me. We just didn't spend what we didn't have. Amen. Amen. We didn't have it, we didn't spend it. We didn't have it, we didn't live frivolously. We didn't live foolishly. Amen. We didn't fool with the nonsense. We kept to the essentials. Never have not been able to pay our bills. Never have not had the electric bill paid. Never have not had food. We didn't have steak on the table, but we had something to eat. Amen. God has always provided for me, and I have learned to trust God for my provision and everything. when we didn't have anything and God provided for me, it just taught me that when He's given me everything, I'm still dependent on Him and I'm still trusting Him for everything that I do have. Why? Because He's been good to me. Brother Jim and Sister Mary and my wife and I, we were in the military when it was poverty wages. It was absolutely poverty. You fell in line. You was eligible for every entitlement that there was. Welfare, because you was in the military. Food stamps, because you was in the military. You was entitled to all this because the pay was nothing. And when you're an E-nothing, hey man, it's really bad. But we didn't have to depend on that because we depended on God. And God is faithful. Amen. God knew where we was going to be whenever we was there. God knew what we was going to need before we ever knew we needed it. We've learned to depend on Him. We learned to trust in Him when we had nothing, so that when we've gained things and when He's blessed us with things, we've still learned to depend on Him for all that we have, even today. If you don't take anything else from this message today, just remember this. Nothing will happen in your life that will take God by surprise. So you can trust in Him. You can wholly depend on Him. You can wholly surrender unto Him, knowing that He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows what your needs is going to be. And He's already made provision for you before you get to that place. Amen? God is good. Moses told Joshua, he said, you don't have to worry. The Lord, He goes before you. He's already been there. Amen? Stop and think about that. Stop and think about the temptation that you face in life. Jesus has already been there. He was tempted with everything that you'll be tempted with. He was tempted with power. He was tempted with wealth. He was tempted in the flesh. Every temptation that is common unto man, Christ Jesus was already tempted with, and He already knows what you're going to deal with. So He already knows how to get you through those temptations. Amen? He already knows how to help you find victory when you wonder where victory is going to come from. Nothing in your life will ever take the Lord by surprise. Number two, never will you have to face the challenges of life alone. He will be with thee. Verse number 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee. You know, one thing I've learned, no matter where I found my place, or found myself in whatever place God has brought me to, or whatever place I've got myself into, when I've called on Him, I've found that He's right there with me. Amen? I've never found myself in a place where I couldn't call on Him and find Him. I couldn't call on Him and find peace. I couldn't call on Him and find what I was needing in my life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Jeremiah chapter 30, now you got to understand, in Jeremiah 30:11, you got to understand God is taking His people. Some have already went into captivity. The remainder are waiting to be taken into captivity. Some are already dealing with the consequences of their sins and their actions before God. And others are waiting to go into the place where some have already went. And God says this to His people. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and not leave thee altogether unpunished. No matter where He leads us, or no matter where life takes us, we're never alone. Amen. We're never alone. the sinner has found that when he comes to the place of realizing his sin and he calls on Jesus, he finds forgiveness. Why? Because he's never alone. The saint has discovered that when he faces trials and troubles in his life and he calls on Jesus, Jesus answers his prayer. He meets him there and he encourages him in what way he needs encouraged. Why? Because he's never alone. Isn't it good to know that you're never alone? Isn't it good to know that you've not been forsaken, forgotten, or left to deal with life on your own? He said he would be there with you. Are y'all getting this morning? Because I don't think the rest of them is. Hey, man. You know, I got me a whole congregation up here. Look at that. Look at that. I got the whole. That's a bride, Mary. Hey, man. Cop, leave him there. Amen. Oop. Shoe done fell off. Flat foot. Amen. But God has promised his people that they would never be alone. His people are going into captivity. His people are going into bondage. His people are going into punishment because of their sin. But yet he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. Look at what he says here. Chapter 30, verse number 11, the first part. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. I'm glad that we have a Savior that's a saving God. A Savior that is a Savior. A Savior that will save you. A Savior that no matter where you are in your life right now, He wants to save you. No matter where sin has taken you, He wants to save you. A Savior that says, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what situation you're in, no matter where your sin has brought you, I will save you. Heard people say, well, preacher, I've just been too horrible. God can't save me. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. He's told His people, those that He's created, those that He's made right here, He would save them. You know, some people have made professions of faith but never been saved. Let me tell you what, God will save you. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, I said a prayer, so-and-so told me to say a prayer, and I prayed this prayer. And I always tell people this, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 4. Otherwise known as God's two before. Because He'll hit you right between the eyes with it. He that saith, I know Him and keep not His commandments, is a liar. Is a liar. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to God. But guess what? He'll save you. Amen. You can pretend. His people had got to the place where they pretended everything was going fine in their life. Everything was all right. They were going through the motions of religion, but their hearts were far from God. But what did He say? He said, I'll save you. Amen. He said, I'll save you. There were people among the Jews who had never followed the traditions of the Jews and never done the things that the law required. But what did God say? He said, I'll save you. Amen. There are people in our churches today who are unsaved, but God said He'll save you. There are people who are in the world who don't know what it means to be saved and never have realized the gift of God's salvation. But He says, I'll save you. What's He going to save you from? He's going to save you from a place called hell. He's going to save you from eternal damnation. He's going to save you from punishment. He's going to save you in the midst of your sins. He'll pick you up out of that place where you're at, out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Put your feet on a solid rock. He'll save you. Amen. See, He's near all of us. And if any of us finds ourselves at the end of life and on our way to hell, it's not because He didn't want to save us. It's because we didn't want Him to save us. Because we didn't ask him to save us. He said, I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Friend, this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, if you're here this morning and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you're here this morning and you've been making a pretense, he'll save you. Not only will he save you, but when you think all is lost and all hope is gone, you find out as long as he's with you, it hasn't. For I am with thee to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. Sometimes we get to the end of our rope. Amen. And we lose hope. But if you'll remember, when you get to the end of your rope and there's no more rope left, there's always Jesus. Amen. There's always Jesus. This young man we was telling you about earlier, he got to the end of his rope. But if he could only have realized, if he could only have grasped that at the end of his rope, there's still Jesus, maybe he wouldn't have took the route that he took. We lose sight of life and we look at things and situations and circumstances and we think everything is hopeless. And as long as the Lord is with us, it's never hopeless. As long as all hope is gone, there's still hope in Jesus. And as long as we have a hope in Jesus, we have a hope that can surmount any obstacle that comes before us, any trial that we face. You say, well, preacher, that's easy for you. What have you ever done? I've been through a few trials. I've been through a few burdens. And you know what I found out? He's faithful. You know what I found out? Whenever I reached out, he's always there. You know what I found out? Jesus don't fail. I fail Jesus, but Jesus never fails. And you know what I realized? He has my best interest at heart. You know what else I'm reminded of here in this passage of Scripture? Is that as long as he's with me, and as long as he is near me, there will always be the realization of sin around me and sin in my life. I'm thankful when there's sin in my life that he brings conviction. I'm glad because he is with me that I'm convicted of sin. Anybody here not sin? I said, anybody not sin this morning? Anybody not sin today yet? I don't know about you, but I know who I am. I know me. I know my heart. And I know what I'm capable of. But praise God, I'm glad I know him. And I know when he's speaking to me. I know when he's telling me there's sin in my life and I need to deal with the sin in my life. And I deal with the sin in my life. See, God said he would save me. He told me as long as he's with me that my circumstances will never be hopeless. But he's also told me that I'd be held accountable for sin. Amen? I'm accountable for me. I'm accountable for my life. I'm accountable for my sin. And I'm glad that he reminds me. Because if he didn't, just think of where I might be. Think of where I might go. Young person, think about that. If God didn't give you the understanding and the knowledge and the conviction of sin, where might your life be? Where might you go? Look and see where so many in life have found themselves because of sin. But I will correct thee in measure. I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Now the Bible tells us plainly that chastisement or discipline at the moment doesn't seem good. It isn't pleasant. But it also reminds us that those whom God loves, He disciplines. He corrects. He chastises because He loves us. And if we can sin, then there's no condemnation. If we can sin and there's no discipline, if we can sin and it makes no difference, then the Bible says maybe we need to check our salvation. He said, because then you're bastards. You're not sons. What's that mean? What's that mean, preacher? What's he saying? It means you're really not saved. It means you're really not born again. It means you're really not one of his. You're an imposter, an imitator. You know, we take the word hypocrite and we use it in the Bible to describe one thing. A hypocrite was the Greek word for an actor. Did you know that? That's what the word hypocrite literally means. The actor would put the mask on and he pretended he was someone else. Isn't that what actors do? Tom Cruise and Angelina Jolie and all these big, I can't think of, I don't watch too many. Julia, what's her name? Roberts, you know, I'm thinking Julia Roberts. Hey, man. You know, they all pretend to be somebody. They're hypocrites. The Jewish actors pretended, they put the mask on, they pretended that they were the character whose face they were portraying. That's what hypocrites are. If you don't have conviction in your life and you're pretending to be a Christian, you're just acting. You're just fooling yourself because you're not fooling God. You might fool the preacher, but you're not fooling God. You might fool the other church members, but you're not fooling God. Amen. You're a bastard. A hypocrite. You're not one of his. He says, I won't leave you unpunished. There's a price to pay for our sin when he's with us. Why is that? Because we're his. And when we're his and he's with us, the Bible says he's too holy to even behold sin. And he won't tolerate sin in his children's life. Those that are here as parents, now some of you got way too long a line. I'm going to tell you that. Some of you are raising spoiled brats. You say, oh, there he goes again, meddling. No. They have no accountability, no responsibility, nothing to anyone. You say, ah, get off of that now. There you go, getting mean again. No, it's the truth. But as God's children, most of us are spoilt brats. God gives us warning, gives us warning, gives us warning, gives us warning, gives us warning. But you as parents know that there's a place to where your children can go that you're not going to let them go any further. Am I right? Amen? If you're any kind of a parent at all, there's a line to which your child's going to cross and you're going to say, oh, no. That's it. That's the end of the line. And you're going to do something. Now, you might have the philosophy, one, two, three. I said three. Didn't you hear what I said, three? I said three. You tell them 15 times that you said three. Amen. And sometimes that's the way God is with us. But there's a point and a place where he's going to pick us up and wear us out. He's going to pick us up and he's going to apply the rod of correction. My philosophy was 1, 2, 3. Amen. That's all they needed. They had 1, 2 warning. Amen. I ain't got time for all that. Amen. God's long-suffering. God's a loving God. But there's a limit. There's a place. And when he's with you, he won't tolerate that sin. He said, I'll correct you. He said, I'll save you. I'll give you hope. But I'm going to correct you. I'm going to keep you in line. Not only do we not have to worry about things in life to take us by surprise because they don't take God by surprise. Not only do we have the realization that we're never alone as we face life's challenges, but he says in the last part of that verse, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. We're not forsaken. Not forsaken. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 20. How many of the young people remember 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 20? Huh? Just do it. Amen. That was what was on our t-shirts or shirts for the youth group that they had. Just do it. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord of God. Remember that whatever God brings you to, he'll bring you through. Amen. So if God has brought you to a place and God is instructing you to go someplace, don't be afraid to follow where he wants you to go. It might seem dismal. It might seem scary. It might seem I don't know what's there and I'm not sure I can go there. Don't worry about it. If he's going to bring you to it, he's going to bring you through it. Amen. Just do it. Amen. Just do it. Remember, there's no task that you cannot accomplish if you trust it to the Lord. If God has laid a burden on your heart about something and God has called you to something and God wants you to do something, just do it. Man, this young man surrendered to preach. I asked his dad, was it all right to ask him to come up and preach to the youth group? He said, yeah, that'd be great. He said, but they're good for about three minutes. He said, him and his brother both surrendered to the priest. He said, they're good for about 3 to 5 minutes. That's about all you're going to get out of them. But they came and they give us the best 3 to 5 minutes that they had in them. And that's extended to 6 to 7 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes. Amen. Why? Because God called him to it. And he's trusting God for it. Amen. And God's going to accomplish it. All he has to do is just do it. Amen. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Best title for that chapter for a message. How to get ahead. Amen. How to get ahead. Just do it. Ain't that right? David had to obey his father, listen to the word. He was obedient to the word. Just went and did it. Shook off the discouraging comments and the discouraging people when his brothers commented and ridiculed him for being there. He said, isn't there a cause? Just did it. Hey, man. He got down there to Saul. Saul said, man, you're just a kid. This is a man of war since his youth. David said, I ain't worried about him. I'm trusting in God. God slew the lion and the bear. He'll slay him too. He said, I'm going to go do it. He just did it. He got down in the valley with the giant. The giant come out and said, "What am I, my dog, that you come to me with stones and staves?" And David said, "I'm just going to do it." And he did it. The Bible said the stone hit the giant between the eyes, and he fell to the ground. And David didn't have a sword, so he took the giant's sword and cut his head off with his own sword. You want to get ahead? Just do it. Amen? Just do it. God brings you to it. God has something for you to do. Just do it. Amen? Because he's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to bring you to a place. He's not going to bring you to something he's called you to and leave you there to founder and try to get it done on your own. All you got to do is just be willing to do it because God said so. Amen? When everybody else and everything else that you have thought is going to bring you through fails, God's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. The psalmist said, "Do my father and mother forsake me?" God won't. Look around this world. You see many young people. You see many old people that have grown up that have been forsaken by their mother and their father. Their families have let them down. But God's been faithful. God's faithful. He won't let you down. He won't leave you to your own. Look around you and look at the friends you have today. And think about the friends you had yesterday and think about how many have failed you, how many have forsaken you. But God has never once let me down. God has never once forsaken me. God has never once left me in a place where I had to founder on my own. He was always there with me just like he said he would be. Amen. Employers let you down. Back in the day, the mills of this country kept thousands and thousands of people are working. And then one day the people come into work and they find either the place where they work is boarded up and shut up. Or they get to work and they're told that at the end of the week you'll no longer have a job. We're shutting our mill down. We're moving it somewhere else. I was fortunate. I worked for Amtrak. I worked for the railroad. They couldn't ship it to Mexico. They couldn't ship it to China. That was the one great blessing. Wasn't it, Richard? Didn't have to worry about them shipping your job off. I mean, we had that security. But he's always talking about selling it. He's always talking about, you can't rely on anything. I mean, Zach, he works for the government. You definitely can't rely on the government. Amen. Everything and everyone might fail you, but the Lord will never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never forsake you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you a certain end. He wants to give you a security like you've never had. He wants you to know that you'll never face anything that he doesn't already know about. You'll never have to deal with things on your own. He'll always be there. And you'll never get to a place where he brings you that he won't be there with you. We have a promise in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 8, of God's commitment to us, God's commitment to his people, God's assurance that he's got our back. He'll be there for us. He'll be there with us. And the question that we pose to you today is, are you committed to him? He's committed to you. He's committed to save you if you'll ask him. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you committed to him? Thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's committed to you. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's committed to you. Are you committed to Him? Are you committed to be good stewards of where God has called you to? Are you committed to Him? Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a...